the Lord. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. Amen. While you're turning in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, amen. Let me just say that we are looking forward to this coming week. And I've got different things that are planned, and I know that I need to get on my schedule. I am asking everybody else to get their schedule, and then I've asked the youth and the Sunday school and the music to get their schedule, and I need to get my schedule produced. And but this Tuesday night, amen, we will have ministerial class 6 to 7 o'clock. Prayer 7 to 8 o'clock, and then we will have Bible study 8 to 9 o'clock, and so looking forward to that. Wednesday, feeling something different already on my spirit, so looking forward to that as well. And then Sunday, amen, this coming Sunday, this next week from today, we are going to try something not totally brand new to any of us, but a little bit different. We are going to have, next Sunday is Fifth Sunday, and so our Sunday will be ran a little different, and the majoring of the service is going to be in children's church. And so next Sunday morning, instead of having Sunday school, there will be children's church. And full-blown with music and singing and preaching and altars and puppets and everything else that's going to be involved in that. And so there will be a lot that will be being done this week. And Sister Stacy, I'll get with you after church. And if we need to vacate the fellowship hall on Tuesday in preparation for that, we can do that. And but we need to make sure you got plenty of time for all that you need to do and the rest. If you're involved in that, please be diligent and tentative. And Brother Charlie and Sister Stacy will be getting with you on what they need for that. And let's give it our best. Let's be in prayer about it. And we know that there are young kids that can receive the Holy Ghost through it all. And that's what it's all about. Amen. And then we will be in here with the adults, and we'll be having just adult Sunday school class, and probably teaching along the lines of what I'll be teaching on today, and then we'll go from there. And then next Sunday evening, we'll meet at the park and just have a good time out there and figure out all that we're going to do, but looking forward to some fellowship out there. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, are you at Philippians chapter number 4? And we are going to begin reading at verse number 8. And the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. And I just want to continue to expound upon what we started last week and talking about the mind, the battle that is in the mind. And last week we brought out more in concerning fear. We talked about the enemy that is called fear. And I'm going to do just a little bit of reviewing on that to bring us all up to date, or to bring some things back into our remembrance. And then we'll get into today and looking at a perspective balance of Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Last week we started off in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 18. Said that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because that he first loved us. I think it is of importance that we understand the definition of fear. Amen. Fear is more than just an emotion that abides in the heart, but fear reigns in the mind. And fear is that unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat, and it is a controlling emotion. And again, it is in the mind. Love is that which can rule and reign in the heart, but fear is that which rules and reigns in the mind. And so we begin to talk about that the mind is a powerful thing. It is the control center. It is the operating procedure of the entire body. And the heart is the seat of the emotion, but the mind is the control center. It's the computer. It's the operating system of the body. And Paul told Titus, in a sense of how powerful that the mind is, that he said that there in 1 and 15, unto all, unto the pure, all things are pure, and unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And we expounded upon that last week. Amen. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Amen. And I want to be pure-hearted, and I want to be pure-minded. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I said I want to be pure-hearted, and I want to be pure-minded. Blessed are the pure in mind. Amen. And pure in soul, and the pure in body. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. Amen. And I want to be pure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I want to be optimistic. I do not want to be a pessimist. Praise the Lord. And Proverbs 23:70 said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. Praise God. And thus, the mind of an individual is the enemy's desired seat of authority. And if he can control the mind, he can operate and he can steer that individual. Some of this may sound a little bit foreign to you as far as that. I don't remember that last week, but if you'll remember, I didn't follow my notes last week either. So, amen. We're just kind of covering back where and seeing things that we skipped, and we're just going to lightly touch it here just for a little bit. Amen. But if the enemy can control your mind, then he can operate and steer an individual. Praise the Lord. Romans 7:23, Paul said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I think that this is extremely important to recognize here, and that Paul probably could be, is the most influential writer in the Bible. He wrote more scripture than anybody wrote. And so he does have an understanding of things, and supposedly maybe could have been the most spiritual, even though that I'm not totally into that and don't really totally buy into that. I think that we all can be just as spiritual as somebody else, but it's in the consistency that we and the application that we apply ourselves to that. And so we must understand that if you want a life like Paul's, you're going to have to pay the price that Paul had as well. It is obtainable, but nevertheless, you're going to have to pay that price. And Paul talked about praying every day, dying daily. And Paul talked about speaking in tongues more than us all. And there's a lot of things that Paul did. And so that is the type of life that we would have to do. But he said that I find a... He said, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and it possesses the ability to bring me into captivity to the law of sin. Praise God. It possesses the ability to bring me into the law of sin. Praise God. It does matter what you think upon. It does matter what you give yourself to thinking about. Amen. And it possesses the power as it wars against the law of your mind. What is the law of your mind? It is the knowing the right from the wrong. Amen. That's not necessarily the heart. Amen. The law of the mind is the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. The law of the mind is God telling Adam to not eat of the forbidden tree. That was the law of the mind. He knew what was right and what was wrong. But there was other things that began to operate in him that caused him to be brought into the captivity of the law of sin, which was in his members. And so we get into the book of Exodus and we find 10 commandments that teach us the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. And so it is important. Praise God. Romans chapter number 2, I believe it is, that he stated that those that are without the law are going to perish without the law. You've got to know the right from the wrong. Amen. And so to ask a preacher just to stand up and to preach about love and to preach about goodness and preach about mercy, amen, and preach about all of the positive things of life, amen, is not necessarily going to help you in all the things that you need help in. You have to know right from wrong. Amen. You tell that officer that pulled you over for speeding and you tell him, I'm sorry, officer, I didn't really realize that 30 miles an hour was the speed limit here. I thought it was still 45. And what is he going to tell you? He's going to tell you that ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Praise God. And so we have to know the law. We have to know what is right and what is wrong. Amen. And so we need a preacher to expound the Word of God and to tell us what is right and what is wrong and to keep us from right and to keep us from wrong, because it is not in man to do good and to do right. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Praise God. Praise God. Our carnal nature, amen, is going to do its best to take us away from the laws of God. And in taking us away from the laws of God, understand that the enemy, the most subtle beast of the entire field, is not just going to come into your life and just totally eradicate, demolish, distinguish, extinguish all of the laws of God with just one shot. But what he is going to do is he is going to get you to drift. And drifting is an unconscious process. And if he can get you to drift, why do you think that a lot of these churches have gone charismatic or have gone the ways of the world? It's not because that they just made a decision overnight and said, oh, we're just going to go ahead and do all of this. And no. They drifted. They drifted. I believe that that is why Isaiah told us that we ought to hold on to the old paths, to ask for the old paths, for in them are the ways that are right. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I was told a story yesterday, and if you are familiar with Pentecost to any type of degree, you will understand who Brother Paul Price is. And Brother Paul Price was 99 years of age, and he passed away yesterday afternoon. But Brother Paul Price was a very, very outspoken individual. He believed what he believed. And not only did he believe it, but he stood for it and he defended it. He defended it. And they told me the story that back in one of the general conferences of the United Pentecostal Church back in, I don't know if it was the 80s or the 90s, but Brother Paul Price, and it may have even been earlier than that, but Brother Paul Price was defending the beliefs of the Bible and the beliefs of the United Pentecostal Church International. And there were those that was standing and opposing him. And they were promoting things that were worldly. They were promoting things that were ungodly. They were asking for things that would lead everybody astray. And finally, Brother Price had enough. And being the elder that he was in the time, he stood up and they said that he put both hands upon the table. And in such a forceful and emphatic voice, he shook his head in declarating all of this. And I can just picture him as he did this with anger, with righteous indignation. And he just simply said, if you don't like what we believe, then get out. If you don't like what we believe, then get out. Amen. That's somebody that's willing to stand in defense of the gospel. And time has proven itself. Amen. That they stood against it and they fought against it. But afterwards, everything began to go awry and began to be let in. And it is in the condition that it is in because of those things. Nevertheless, but that is the way that the enemy works against us. He begins to get us to drift, to deviate from right. Amen. I don't know the particular specs upon it, but I was reading one time, and they said that if the space shuttle is off 1 degree at the point of launch, that upon its arrival, it'll never arrive. It will be so far. I forgot how many hundreds of miles or even thousands of miles that it will be off course, all because of 1 degree of offset from its destination. And so we cannot afford to be 1 degree off. Amen. We've got to set the compass to true north. Amen. And we've got to set it, amen, according to the Bible. The Bible is the compass. And we've got to set it to true north. And we've got to follow it diligently. Amen. And all of these other things that begin to come in. Amen. All of these other things, amen, that begin to try to get us to drift away from true north. Amen. Are not good things. Amen. They're not right. Praise God. And there are some things that I'll just go ahead and state here. And I've been dealing with this, not in this church, but amongst the brethren. Amen. And just this passing week. And so there are some things that we might be able to say is not necessarily sin. But friend, I tell you this, amen, that where it is leading to is no place that I intend to go. It's no place that I want to go. Hallelujah. I plan on sticking to the straight path. Amen. I plan on sticking, man, saying you got to be an old fuddy-duddy. Amen. The old fuddy-duddies, it made them, it got them into heaven's gate. Amen. And I plan on sticking with it. Amen. This is worth fighting for. Praise God. Can I give you an example here today? And I'm going to get off my soapbox here in just a little bit. But for how long did Pentecost stand up against dance teams? And for how long did we criticize the charismatics for having the dance teams and all of those other things? But today in Pentecost, you find dance teams of all kinds of flavors and sorts all over the place. Amen. Whether it's in the choir, whether it's in the praise singers, amen, or wherever it is, there's all kinds of dance teams that's all over the place. Amen. I'll tell you that there's another dance team that's in it. And I said, I'm going to get off of my soapbox here, but I said in a minute. It's not a minute yet. Amen. There is a dance team that likes to congregate up around the front, and everybody just has that old, amen, that dance, that charismatic flavor dance. And you know why I say it's a charismatic flavor dance? It's because as soon as the music is done, they stop. And they look around and they say, what's next? Hey, we ain't in the entertainment business in Pentecost. Amen. The only entertaining we're doing is tend to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our musicians are entertaining Jesus. They're not entertaining, amen, people. Our singers are entertaining Jesus, not people. Amen. And when we come up around the front and we worship God, amen, we're not dancing because of a beat. We're not worshiping because of music. We're entertaining the presence of the Almighty God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I just have a feeling that what's done in Pentecost in this day and age is more entertaining than it is, amen, worship. Praise God. Help us to stick to the old paths. Help us to keep the things pure that's been pure. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why it's stay? You know why it's pure? It's because somebody's keeping it pure. We got a job to do. We've got to keep it pure. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Let me get back to my notes before I start preaching. So whatsoever sits on the throne of one's mind can generate the thoughts. And if it's not correct, it'll manipulate an individual completely until the one that is set upon the throne is overthrown. So if the enemy, and that's what he is after, he's after your mind. He's after your mind. And I know he wants your heart, but if he gets your mind, the heart's next. And you can't live for God living in intimidation and fear and questioning everything. There's some things that need to be settled in your heart. Amen. That's what Jesus did when Jesus was fighting the enemy. After 40 days of fasting, the enemy came to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, then do this and this and this. And Jesus just simply replied, there's some things that are already settled. I don't have to think about these things. Thus it is written. You need to get some things that are settled in your mind. Praise God. And so if the enemy is sitting upon the throne of your mind, then he is going to be the one that's going to generate all the thoughts. And he's going to be able to manipulate the direction of your life. And God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And so if there is fear in your mind, then you need to be extremely careful, because the spirit of fear is not of God. And if there is confusion in your mind, you know that that's not of God as well. Because the Bible teaches us that God is not the author of confusion. And so if we're confused, then we need to get back to the Bible. Back to that plate, to that place of settledness. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Thou shalt worship no other God. So these things are settled. And they have to be settled. Otherwise, they're going to continue to war. Amen. As long as you sit here and think to yourself, well, you know what? I just don't see what's wrong with this. Or I just don't see what's wrong with that. And that is the enemy questioning. And that's what he's so good at. I mean, what did he do with Eve? Did God say? Question authority. Did God say that you should not eat of the fruit? He said, yeah, because in the day that we eat of it. And then he refutes authority. Say, well, that's not going to happen. You're going to be like God, knowing right from wrong. And I'm going to tell you this very, very carefully, but when we major our life, when we major our life on the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots, we're in for failure. It needs to be majored upon love. Perfect love casteth out all fear. And he that feareth, love is not made in him perfectly. All right? And we're going to get to that more than likely next week if I finish here today. If not, we'll finish this next week. But nevertheless, when you try to live your life apart from the love of God, majoring upon thou shalt and thou shalt not, you're setting yourself up for failure. We're not diminishing the importance of the thou shalt and thou shalt not. That is extremely important. You must have that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're in love with Jesus Christ, like you need to be in love with Jesus Christ, the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots take care of themselves. There's some people that become offended by the word of God. And there were people that was offended in Jesus' day and they left. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he asked them, he said, are you going to leave me too? And they said, to where would we go, Lord? But the word of God offended them. But when you're in love with God, there ought not to be anything that would offend us, definitely to the point that we would walk out on God. But you know what? There's people that have got their pastor on probation. As long as he doesn't say this and this and this and offend me, then I'm going to be okay. But if he says these little things and stuff, I'm out of here. Well, how much of God is that? Praise the Lord. And this is the manipulation that hell wants to have an authority in your mind. That hell can, that the enemy of your soul can reside in your mind. And it's like these points are already purposed. These points are already drawn in our mind that as soon as those points are crossed, no matter how much Bible is applied, no matter how much principle is applied, there are areas that are drawn in our mind because we have not given our total mind unto Jesus Christ. That's scripture too. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to get past last week. And so whoever sits on the throne of the mind generates the thoughts of that individual until he is overthrown. If God is on the throne of your mind, then good things will be generated. If not, and until that's overthrown. But the carnal mind, the Bible didn't say the carnal heart, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. Amen. And so that's where the devil wants to reside. Fear is a paralyzing weapon that the enemy uses against the people of God. Goliath was intimidating. Elisha's servant was afraid of the audit that he saw that surrounded him. Haman used fear tactics. Three Hebrew children had fear tactics used against them. Daniel, fear tactics against him. Stephen's death tried to strike fear in the heart of the church. And the Bible said that our adversary as a lion, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Praise God. And so we know that fear destroys faith. Amen. 12 spies had nothing but good to say. Amen. Until it came to the point of taking the land. And as soon as they began to talk about that, 10 said, fear, we cannot do that. And fear overrode faith. Praise the Lord. And then there was another spot in the Bible where the Lord said, given the commandments to go to war, he said, if you've built a house, you don't have to go the first year. If you've married a wife, you don't have to go the first year. And if you have planted a vineyard and not partaken of it, you don't have to go the first year. And then he said this, he said, and all that are fearful of heart, you can go home as well. Why? Because fear is contagious. It's contagious. Amen. And so we'd rather have just a few with God. Few are many with God. Amen. When faith is in the house, praise the Lord. Amen. Gideon, everybody that's afraid, go home. And they all went, many of them went home. In the last days, fear is going to be the prominent factor of those days. For these be the days of vengeance, and all things that are written may be fulfilled. Luke 21 and 26, men's heart failing them for fear. Praise God, for fear. Praise God. And so we're going to battle against that here today. And I've got just a few minutes of time here today, and so we're going to get into this, and we'll just see how far that it goes. And so we get into a balanced perspective of Philippians 4 and 8. And I want to just start off by talking about that there is a remedy to get back into control of the mind. There is a remedy to eradicate fear from your hearts. Amen. Acts 17 and 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Praise God. And so that is why that it is imperative that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10 and 25. Amen. But we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to be receptive to receive the word of God. Those that was in Thessalonica, they had some issues that was there, but it was counted unto them as nobleness in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. Amen. It's the perspective of coming to the house of God and saying, God, whatever you've got for me today, I want to hear it. Amen. I need to hear the word of God. Praise God. I will just make myself extremely vulnerable here this morning, and I will tell you that that's probably what scares me more than anything, and that is simply that is if I am going to be saved. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. If I am going to be saved, I have got to preach myself under conviction. I've got to preach myself into the altar. And I'm going to tell you where the danger is. The danger is anything that gets a hold of me, I possess the ability to ignore it. If I see something in you, I can preach about it and help you out. Amen. But if I refuse to see things in me and preach about them, amen, then I, amen, am going to become a castaway. Praise God. Paul talked about that when he began to say, amen, that he condemned not himself and the things that he allowed, or that when he preached to others, that his fear that would be that he himself would be a castaway. Praise God. And so when I preach up here, amen, understand that I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Amen. That if I don't set the boundaries in my life, there's not going to be any boundaries in your life. Amen. If I don't set the parameters in the church, then there's not going to be any parameters in the church. Amen. And I've got to make sure that the parameters of the church are set biblically and not just by what I like or what I don't like. I'm telling you, this is an eternal thing. This just isn't something, amen, that we just come and it's just a social gathering where, amen, we just leave and feel good about ourselves and we come back. If I need to be in the altar repenting, then I need to be in the altar repenting. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But I need a readiness of mind to be able to receive the engrafted word of God. Praise God. And that's the mindset that we all need, amen, when we come. Lord, whatever it is that you've got to say unto me today, I want to be prepared for it. I'm just going to tell you right now, amen, that when you're standing the wrong way like the cat is, amen, and somebody's petting him the wrong, it does not feel good. I don't care who you are. Amen. Nobody wants to be told that they're doing wrong. Nobody wants to be told that they need to do better, that they need to try more. Nobody wants to be told any of that. Amen. But the Bible teaches us that he that breaketh the hedge, the serpent shall bite them. Amen. I need preaching, amen, that keeps me in the hedge. You need preaching that keeps you in the hedge. Amen. Because our ways are not good enough. We've got to do things God's ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here I go preaching again instead of teaching. Amen. But feelings aren't facts. Amen. You cannot predicate your life with God, your walk with God. Amen. By simply saying, well, I don't feel like anything is wrong with that. Amen. There may not be anything wrong with it at this moment, friend, but you better see the direction that it is heading because it has eternal consequences. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so Thessalonica was ready to receive the word of God with all readiness of mind. Amen. Whatever it is that we need to hear so that we can get past this, so that we can get through this, so that we can combat this, so that we can make, amen, through this, then we want to hear. They were ready. Amen. If we need to have more faith, then preach faith. But if there's some closet cleaning that needs to be done, amen, then help us, preacher, clean the closet out because we want to. They had a readiness of mind, amen, for the word of God. Praise God. Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. You need your mind renewed. I need my mind renewed. Hallelujah. I don't need this stinking thinking. Amen. I need to think right. I can't afford to have stinking thinking. I've got to think right. I've got to be in my right mind. I cannot make decisions in a wrong frame of mind. I need to have my mind renewed. And Paul said, be not conformed to this world. That word, amen, this is, amen, a conclusive, that is an all-inclusive word. Amen. It includes us in this day. Amen. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense. When Paul would say, don't be conformed to this world, amen, we're not being conformed to that world. I mean, we're not running around like they were running around. And we didn't have, robes and turbans and all of those other things and stuff. But he said, be not conformed to this world. He was talking about the things that was affecting that world, but it encompasses and includes us today, that we are not to be conformed to this world. You know what confirmation is? Conforming is. Amen. You pour that water in your ice trays and you stick it in the freezer, and then you pull it out after some time and you pop it, and lo and behold, all those ice cubes look exactly like the form that you put them in. That's what conforming is. Amen. We don't pour ourselves into this world. Amen. Because what's going to come out is a worldly product. So we're not conformed to this world. We don't dress like this world. We don't cut our hair like this world. We don't act like this world. We don't talk like this world. We don't do a lot of things that this world does. Why? Because we are told to be not conformed to this world. Somebody says, well, we need to be like them so that we can reach them. I mean, how ignorant does that really sound? We need to be like them so that we can reach them. They don't want to be like that. They're looking for something. That's why they continue to progress worse and worse. The problem is they're heading in the wrong direction, and they're getting worse and worse and worse. Why? They're trying to find true happiness. They're doing things. Amen. You know, back in the days in the 60s and stuff, amen, it was a tattoo. And they just got a little tattoo, and they thought, you know, they were identifying. They were speaking out. It was a subliminal talking that was done. Amen. And then as we progressed, it became body tattoos. And now you got tattooed people from the tip of their toes to the tip of their heads. And you know what? It didn't stop there. And, you know, but the problem is they ran out of places to tattoo. But they're still heading in the wrong direction. And so now what are they doing? They're carving up their bodies. And I seen some place, and it's been several years ago, but I looked at some picture, and I'm like, whoa, 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 wait, wait a second. What is this? What is this? Now look, they're branding themselves. Is that not like beast? Animal-like? And they got brands of Superman on their arm. And I don't have to have a brand on my arm to prove that I'm Superman. My wife tells me all the time. They got brands, but that wasn't good enough. Now they got holes all in their ears and in their mouth and in their nose and all over the place. They got piercings all over the place and spreaders in their ears and such. Why? It's because they're not happy. They're looking for something else. That's why they're not satisfied just smoking dope. They got to try something else and try something else and try something else. And they got to try more and more and more because they're not happy. And they've split their tongues and they've carved their ears. And they got spikes in their tongues and all these other things. They don't need somebody to become like them. They need somebody that's on the other side saying, hey, you need to turn around and come this way. This is where happiness is. That's why they need a church that's different, because when they hit rock bottom, they're not going to go, amen, the churches that they're in today, amen, they're going to feel and know that there's something wrong, and they're going to look for a church that is different. We cannot be like everybody else. We've got to be different. And when they come in, they ought to be able to see something that's different, and they ought to be able to feel something that's different. And I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the holy power and spirit, amen, of Jesus Christ. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, amen, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That's what your mind needs to be able to do. And when you're not in your right mind, or when you haven't been renewed in your mind, you cannot do that. But it is important that we are renewed in our mind, that we can prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 and 4. Amen. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise God. You have the power. Use it. Praise God. Amen. Use it. Weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but are mighty through God. Pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. I'm just trying to finish last week, because that's what I didn't get to, setting the tone for Philippians 4. Casting down imaginations. Whoo, Jesus, we could stay here for a long time. Well, I just don't think they like me. Well, go ask. Well, I just think they've got something against me. Okay. Let's do this the Bible way. Go ask them. And you know, the Bible says that if your brother has offended you, go to him. I'm offended, and I'm just going to sit here and wait till they come to me. Bless God if they don't come to me. They got another thing coming. Go to them. Say, I don't know if you recognize this or not, but you know what you did the other night? It offended me. Oh. Okay. And then there'll be others that'll say, you needed to be offended. Jesus did say that offenses shall come, but woe unto them from whom they come. You need to be careful how you treat your brother and your sister. Because if you're being offensive, you need to stop it. I mean, Paul said, if my meat offends my brother, I'll eat no more meat. That's how sensitive he was to this. Oh, I feel the pastor all over me right now. So then you say, that's right, Pastor. They need to care about how that I feel. You need to get your feelings off your shoulder, which is a whole lot easier for me to do than for you to do. Because my wife has informed me that I only have one feeling. So it's very easy to get that off. Spoonful of medicine, spoonful of, what does it say? Sugar helps the medicine go down. Well, people just need to be careful around me. And they need to understand that, you don't want to admit this, but I'm easily offended. Well, you need to grow up. Woe unto them from whom the offenses come. Woo, buddy, Jesus is going to get you. The Bible also says, forbear one another. And you know what that means?
It's pretty simple. Put up with them. Put up with one another. Why has everybody got to conform to your box? Why does everybody have to walk around like they're walking on eggshells when they get around you? We are all uniquely made. The Bible says marvelously. And the most glorious thing is that we've been beautified by salvation. But we're unique individuals, and that's what makes it so beautiful. Because if everybody acted like me, we'd be very, very boring. And if everybody acted like Brother Micah, we'd all be very, very tired. Well, glory to God. I need to close it up. And so he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And then he said, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. That's where I was before I got sidetracked. Casting down imaginations. All of these imaginations. Most of the imaginations are not good. But we need to cast down imaginations. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. One of the scribes came unto Jesus, reasoning with them among themselves and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well. He asked Jesus, he said, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus responded and told him, the first commandment, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, and with your mind. And with thy strength. This is the first commandment. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning. See, you didn't think I could teach. But we need to be very careful of the places and the things that we allow our minds to ponder upon. You will judge people by what others have done. I think I talked about that last week. About the man that said, Pastor, you're just going to have to be careful. You're just going to have to give us some time. We've been hurt by preachers. No problem. I'll afford you all the time as long as you afford me all the time, because I've been hurt by saints. And so we need to be very, very careful of the things that we allow our minds to generate in the thought process of all of these things. We need to be very careful. Because you can perceive somebody to be a bad individual no matter what they do by simply letting your imagination run wild. You need to bring into captivity that imagination. You need to pull that thought down, bringing it into subjection, every thought unto the obedience of Christ. You begin to think to yourself, that preacher doesn't even like me. Well, that's the devil, because there's nobody in here that I don't like. But we allow our minds to run. And that thought begins to build. And that imagination begins to grow and begins to multiply. And it's like a metastatic cancer that explodes, begins to multiply in the body. And it's not good. It's not good. And that foreign substance of fear, what should be a foreign substance? I know that there's a good, healthy fear that we need. Just like you have cancer cells in your body today. Everybody does. You've got bad cells. You've got good cells. But it's when the bad cells begin to gain the strength to overtake the good cells and to convert them. But you possess the power to stop that. Number one, by staying prayed through. Number two, not allowing your mind to run rampant with imaginations and assumptions. The gift of assumption has destroyed so many people. I try my entire life and everything I do not to operate on an assumption. Assuming. Feelings are not facts. Well, I just feel that feelings are not facts. You may have some things to base feelings on, but feelings still are not facts. So don't count them as facts. Feelings, that's where the devil likes to play, in that playground. Manipulating your feelings. I feel like so-and-so doesn't like me. I feel like that's where the enemy plays. Manipulating fears and other things that are ungodly. And so Paul said, you've got the weapons that you need. Pull down every stronghold. Cast down every imagination. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And he went on to say, and having a readiness to revenge all of your disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What obedience? Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity. Don't let that mind wander. Bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Mind, you're not going there. You're not going there. I'm not giving in to assumptions and feelings and such. Let God and God's word dictate and rule through it. Amen? Somebody needs to be conscious of this today, because the devil's been using your mind as a playground. You've got things in your mind that you're warring against. Honestly, you're probably not even warring against them. They've taken up residence. And you ponder. And you think. And you're giving place to the devil. Because you're allowing those things to grow. And what one time was just a small weed that you could have easily plucked out has now sank its roots down deep into your mind. Now you are almost totally persuaded. Instead of, it used to be, I just feel like they don't like me. Now you say, I know they don't like me. And you may be so far away from the truth, because that's the way the devil plays. Unfair. Separating. Dividing. Conquering. One by one. All right there in the mind. Amen. We're going to go through this a little bit deeper and a little bit further next week. And then we're going to get to the heart, because that's where Jesus wants to reign. Jesus doesn't want to reign in your mind. He'll rule your mind, but he wants to set in the heart. Because when Jesus sets in the heart, he can tell Adam, Adam, you can eat of every tree out here, but you cannot eat of that one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. If it would not have been in Adam's heart, He had got mad, pitched a fit, folded his arms, huffed and puffed. I knew there was a catch to all of this. I knew it was too good to be true. Adam, you got the entire garden. Well, I just knew it was, I just knew it couldn't be as good as was being stated. No. But because that Adam was in love with God, Adam, don't eat of that tree. Oh, no problem. Whatever you say, Lord. Amen. That's the way it needs to be. God sets on the heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we just lift our hands and love the Lord here today?